And so what I really wanted to share tonight after those brief introductory remarks is that it's springtime, right? A lot of people I talk to have been going to the store, Home Depot, the favorite landscaping store. They're getting their seeds, they're prepping their ground, they're thinking about planting maybe flowers, maybe trees, shrubs. Maybe you're going to reseed or aerate your lawn, something like that. And those are a few things that you do in preparation for what? The growing season, right? I talked to Joe Evans today. He and Jeanette are putting in a garden. He says, well, we started a little late, but there are some things that will still, you know, grow. And I thought, well, you know what? That's the cycle of life, right? If you plant seeds, they grow. And it will require some things, right? I mean, Bob doesn't plant tomatoes in his front yard. A lot of you other people don't plant pretty flowers where no one can see them. Because it takes some type of planning, some type of preparation to find just the right spot where what you are planting and wanting to grow gets just the right amount of sunshine and shade and the proper amount of water. You know, a lot of times when we purchase things like house plants or other types of plants that are alive, either for the outside or the inside of a house, we got to put forth at least a little effort if we want to make sure it all happens, right? Like I said, it may retire our trip to Home Depot or your favorite landscape store, Armstrong's, to get exactly the right pot or exactly the right product, or in some cases, to get exactly the right advice from one of the people who work there who we believe know what they're doing. And so I have a question for you. Is this your season for change? How has your planting season been this year so far? Well, this season of the year especially signifies in the growing season for a lot of things in the physical realm. And that requires several significant changes to take place. So are there any similarities in the spiritual realm? And the answer is yes, absolutely. When we receive the Spirit, which is the seed, we become sons and daughters in God, right? Mentions it many places in the Bible. We become sons and daughters of God with seed. We're born again, like we're going to read in 1 Peter chapter 1 here in just a moment, if you want to look there, or you can listen. We are born again of what the scriptures say is incorruptible seed. And so I think it just, we have to ask ourselves, I have to ask myself, I have a seed that's been planted that will bring forth something, but am I desirous for that seed to really produce a wonderful, luscious, great fruit and blossom? I can't imagine a gardener who's on this call or anybody else who will ever listen to this call that their purpose in growing vegetables is to get horrible tasting vegetables, right? That's not what we want either. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Is this your season for change? Do you know that the word incorruptible means? Well, think of it this way. If we can look at grab the physical analogy of reproduction, it requires some type of seed, right? That seed, whether it's in the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, or the kingdom of man, that seed, it ceases to exist when that entity, that plant, that animal, or that person passes away, falls asleep, or dies. Now, its progeny, may live on, but the actual seed that gave life to whatever was born is what is called in 1 Peter chapter 1, corruptible seed. It ceases to exist. So it becomes kind of obvious then that incorruptible means the opposite, that it will not cease to exist. And in the context here, it says that we're born again not of corruptible seed, that which will die off, but of incorruptible, everlasting. How so? By the word of God, which liveth and abideth, how long? Forever. Listen to the Amplified version of this. Because we want to get a broader understanding of our old birth, the natural birth, the one that we carry, the seed of mommy and daddy, so to speak. And then we have the new birth seed. We carry the seed that we were given when we were birthed by God Almighty, and that's called spirit. The Amplified version of 1 Peter 1:23 says, "For you have been born again, that is, reborn from above, spiritually transformed, renewed, and set apart for his purpose, not of seed which is perishable, but from that which is imperishable and immortal, that is, through the living and everlasting Word of God." And the common contemporary English version says, "Do this because you have been given new birth, not from the type of seed that decays, but from seed that doesn't. This seed is God's life-giving and enduring word." Is this your season for change? How about that seed planted in us at the time of the new birth? Isn't that the Holy Spirit? Part of the divine nature of God and his gift to us, which we refer to as Christ in us, the hope of glory, which Jan Boos taught on the other day. You know, this one-time act of confession of belief, whenever it happened in your life, and through the miraculous work of God who operates in the realm of the miraculous, we have been given seeds of greatness. Amen? We have been empowered by the Holy Spirit to operate in the realm of the miraculous, just like Jesus did, just like the apostles did, and others who have gone before us. We are always encouraged and exhorted to step out in faith. Amen, Wally. Our season and change is right in front of us. To experience the transforming power of God Almighty in relationship to us, his children of love. So I'll ask again, is this your season for change? You know, the word seed implies potential. For within every seed is life and a program that determines its growth. Everything necessary for an oak tree to grow is held within the acorn. In the redwood area of Northern California, redwood trees grow to an incredible height. They live for centuries. And some claim that trees in that area were alive in the time of Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. You know, the seed of a redwood tree, they're very small, about a millimeter or two in length, yet within that seed is the initial nourishment for the tree and a complete operating program that determines the shape, the structure, and the color of these magnificent trees. A seed has within it the potential necessary for the development of a plant for mankind to enjoy and utilize. And you know what? God deliberately uses the illustration of a seed to teach us that within every believer is the potential to grow and to develop and to maximize that which we have been given. And so, figuratively, let's say, a seed then implies potential, productivity, and pleasurable results. Amen? Isn't that what we're all looking for? Isn't that what you're looking for when you plant a good garden? It's not like you want them all to die off and not have any flowers, not have any fruit, not have any veggies. I mean, no. But see, there's one difference between a natural seed and God's seeds of greatness. And that's that God's seeds are permanent. You know, in 1 John chapter 3, verse 9, let's have a quick look over that. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. 1 John, I'm going there with you. 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Oh my gosh, I love this verse. Remember the first time I read this? 1 John chapter 3, verse 9. Whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. For what? His seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. You know, God is saying that this seed that's within the believer, it's permanent. It's permanent. You know, there's really no question as to whether you do or do not have God's seed in your life. You know, God shows no favoritism according to Romans chapter 2, verse 11, where it says, God is not a respecter of persons. So if only one person can be shown to enjoying health, wealth, and happiness, then it is available for every person that has that seed, that potential, the ability to produce and have pleasurable results. Is this your season for change? One other aspect of seed is that it does matter as to the type of soil into which seeds are planted. And any gardener, anybody who's planted anything, has a pretty good idea about that. You just don't. Well, the parable of the sower, right? So we have to be able to provide good seeds with good soil, God's seeds. The farmers of that day in Luke chapter 8, they took a handful of seed, they threw it from left to right in front of them as they walked across a plowed field. Some would go down on unplowed edges of the field, some on paths, and you would pray mostly, hopefully, most on good soil. In this particular parable, the seed is the Word of God, and this is why God's seeds of greatness are those things in His Word that we can allow to germinate and grow in our lives and bring forth a bountiful harvest, a good result. You know, the seed in that parable that fell on good ground is likened to those who hear God's Word with a noble and good heart. They keep it and bear fruit with patience or patient endurance. Guys, the development of the seed is going to be determined by the quality of the ground, quality of the soil in which it is placed. And so we too can have a role in that, and providing that resource of positive faith and affirmation of those truths of the Scriptures. And then we get to benefit, we get to enjoy, we get to eat of the veggies from the garden. We get to eat of the fruit of those things that God so abundantly supplies. You know, God sows the seeds of greatness in everyone who becomes a member of His family, who is born again of incorruptible seed. Because you know what? God has taken the future tense and He's turned it into the past tense. Because God is saying to us right now, I have made you. I have blessed you. You are a blessing. He says, you are more than a conqueror, according to Romans 8:37, right? He says in Ephesians 1:3, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. In 1 John 4:4, He says, you are an overcomer because I am in you. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 4:17, as I am, so are you in this world. Man, 1 John 5:4, your faith in me has won the victory. 1 John 5:15, I hear what you have asked, and it is yours. 1 John 3:9, to reiterate, and Romans 6:14, my seed remains in you, so the power and penalty of sin has no more dominion over thee. The seed to succeed in life, the seed to success and succeed in life is powerful, it is productive, and it is present in you. It is the Holy Spirit. It is the gift of God. It is the divine nature, a part of it, which has been planted within you. And it is alive, and it just wants to bust forth with blossoms, just like springtime. Because we are born again, not of a corruptible seed, but we're born again of incorruptible seed by the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, you're so kind to us. Oh, Lord, our lives just become that living testimony of how good you are to us. And like Wally shared, others have shared, we read about, we see all the time how truly good you are, Father, and how it blesses us to be mindful of that. And so we just take some time here today to take our prayerful praise pause, offer our hands and hearts in worship to you, God, and tell you how much we love you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.